ladies and gentlemen, now it is time for Paranormal Rabbit Corner. Be back. Yes, hello, you wonderful and beautiful people. How are you all doing? It is Monday. Hooray! Well, it's a bank holiday Monday here in the UK because, you know, banks work so hard, they need to have the day off once every so often. But it does mean we all get the day off, all bar Kev. Well, I could have recorded this earlier. I haven't. I'm doing this Monday morning. It's now 10:08. You're going to get this approximately 11. Because that's how quick I am, babyface. Anyway, what have we got in store for today? Well, we've got all the usual shenanigans going on. We're not going to do a song this week. There's a reason for that. And it's I've had to take everything out of this office. So I've got nothing in it other than a curtain and some soundproofing. And there's reasons behind that, but I won't bore you with them. But anyway, so we're not going to have a song, but if you do want a song, if you do want to hear your name sung in the version of song, then become one of our Patreons. That's how you do it. When you sign up to Patreon, not only do you support the show, but you also get two additional shows each and every week. One of them is a ramble, which has been quite depressing of late, I admit. But it's also a peek behind the wizard's curtain. Yes, I've just called myself a wizard. But it's also, I just talk about whatever's on my mind. I literally pick up a handheld recorder, walk around rambling. That's the point. But it's also called a Patreon Extra. So therefore, that's not really something you should put your money towards. It's just the rantings of a madman. Anyway, but then we do have a paranormal podcast on a Sunday. And that does focus on the paranormal. And recently, we've been doing a bit of a world tour, as I've mentioned previously. So to non-English-speaking, non-anglicised, if you will, countries, because they've obviously got a plethora of history of ghosts and the paranormal, and we're trying to look into that a bit. So it's quite interesting. And also, if that wasn't good enough, you get your name sung out by me. So if that sounds like your cup of tea, and it's not a lie, it's sincere. There's close to 350 hours worth of back catalogue Patreon episodes to listen to. So if for whatever reason, maybe you have, you know, I don't know, some sort of syndrome, you find me entertaining and funny, then maybe go over to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts and just lose yourself, as Eminem would say. I don't know whether he says that every day. I'd be pretty sure his wife, who I think's called Kim, would be rather upset if every day at some point he was like, lose yourself. I'd be like, oh, come on, Marshall. Anyway, so what have we got in store for today? All the usual shenanigans. We're about to do a paranormal review of something which is quite old, but not many of you might have seen it. And if you're in the UK, you can still watch it for free right now, all legally. And if you're in the US, I imagine it will be on YouTube, but we're going to review it anyway. And it's well worth the watch, believe me. And then we're going to have one of your paranormal experiences, which is my favourite part of the week. And then we are going to Becca's Reddit Corner. She's just not there. So it's Kevin's Stolen Reddit Throne Edition, part two. I don't know. Anyway, that's what we've got in store. I hope you're all doing wonderfully well and the world is treating you the exact opposite of how stuffing treats a turkey at Christmas. Anywho, let's have a paranormal review, shall we? Yes, it's that time of week where I become Northern. No, it's not. It's the time of the week where I give you a paranormal review. I review something paranormal so that you guys don't have to review it for yourself and then talk to yourself in the mirror about whether you should watch it again. Anyway, moving away from insanity, what I watched yesterday, it's very old, right? It's over a decade old. And I'd seen it before. Never done a review on it, is the thing. And I watched it again, and it's just as good. And I love the person involved anyway. But basically, if you're in the UK, you know 4OD, which is Channel 4 streaming service, they've still got on there, Derren Brown investigates the ghost hunter, right? Now, he goes and spends, now, as I say, if you're in America or anywhere else, it should be on YouTube, the full episode. So go and search for it. Derren Brown investigates the ghost hunter, right? Now, he goes and spends time with Lou Gentili, who is an alleged demonologist. Take with that word what you will. But obviously, Derren Brown does not believe in the, he's open to it. He wants to experience something that he can't explain, but he's a very rational person. He doesn't believe in the paranormal. He does like about Lou Gentili, as you'll discover, that he doesn't charge for any of his services. So he's not looking to make a living out of it, off the individuals at least. You know, I'm sure he has like merch and maybe even a podcast. Well, in fact, he's dead now. Just to, you know, it says at the end of the show, he passed away. Must have passed away young because he was only 40 in the show. But anyway, God bless him. But why I really like this, and there's a tie-in, because my favourite book on the paranormal, well, there's two, is one's The Occult by Colin Wilson, but that's heavy going. The other, which is amazing, which everyone should own if you're into the paranormal, is Will Storr versus the Supernatural, because it's fantastic. Now, interestingly, at the start of the first maybe three or four chapters of that book, Will spends time with Lou Gentili. So it's the same individual. That's why I was like, oh my God, that's... Because I'd read the book before I'd seen the program. So I was like, I'd even forgot about it until last night that it was Lou Gentili that Derren spends time with throughout the whole episode. So the whole episode is Derren and his team following Lou around to alleged haunted places, houses, capturing EVPs, or what Lou thinks are EVPs. And EVPs, I think, anyway, unless they're very clear, you know, then I think a lot of it is almost audio pareidolia, you know. So if someone says, oh my God, that said father, and the word father appears on the screen, and then they play it back, you will hear father. There's been experiments done in it. It's that, they've done it recently. It was like, it went viral, didn't it? That video, what was it? It was something like lightning bolt or green triangle. And if whatever word you read, you heard that word being said, although it was the same sound. And I think EVPs, or a lot of them, are this. It's audio pareidolia. You hear not necessarily what you want to hear, but what your brain is telling you is being said, which isn't always right, obviously. And Derren kind of like, he doesn't want to squash this man's dreams because his entire life is investigating the paranormal. But I won't, I know there are no spoilers on this, but there are several experiments and things and, you know, discussions he has with alleged possessed people and stuff. Lou Gentili, this is, that Derren sits in on. And Derren comes up with, Derren says, I accept what you're saying. However, it could also be X, which is non-paranormal. And to be fair to Lou Gentili, I think Derren, it comes across anyway as a likable person, even if he completely disagrees with what you're saying. I just think, you know, you could still get on with him. And I think he must have done some really hard work pre-recording with Lou to say, listen, no matter what I say about this, it's not, I'm not attacking you in the slightest. I'm not going to be argumentative. I'm not looking for a fight. You know, I'm just going to try and voice my opinion. And I think Lou has kind of said, fair enough, because there's a few times in it where you can see Lou almost thinking, am I being attacked? But he kind of like, he realizes that Derren wouldn't do that. It's weird. We watch it and you'll understand what I'm saying. And you'll see him calm down a bit. But it's a fantastic thing. It's a great look at certain things that we all, well, when I say we all, I mean people into the paranormal. You know, we watch these shows where they'll use REM pods or audio recorders for EVPs and stuff like that. And Derren doesn't necessarily shoot down these things. He said, he'll say like, it could also be. And it's proven it could also be. And this kind of angers Lou a bit. But as I say, he knows that Darren's not doing it to antagonise, so he reins it in. But you can also tell part of him wants to leap to the defence of the supernatural. And it's a very interesting dichotomy when you're watching it. So I would strongly suggest this is a two thumbs up through the clouds, because it's that good. It's that good in terms of looking at the topic with an open mind and also with rationale. Do you know what I mean? So if you can, well, anyone in the UK can go online and go on 4OD, search for Darren Brown, The Ghost Hunter, and it's free to watch. There are ads, but it's free to watch. If you're abroad, use a VPN. If you haven't got a VPN, go on YouTube. It should be on there. You need to search Darren Brown Investigates The Ghost Hunter. Or even if you just type into YouTube, I imagine, Darren Brown, Lou Gentile, or Gentili. And it's spelt, I think, G-E-N-T-I-L-E. Okay? But believe me, you will not regret watching this program. Anyone who's into the paranormal, you won't say, well, that was time wasted. Believe me. It's one of the best things, I think, in terms of unbiased journalism on the subject that you'll watch. So I would, you know, I think I've made my point perfectly clear. Two thumbs through the clouds, nudging God's nose, and God's going, for frig's sake, Kev, I know it's good, but come on. And then I'm like, well, I haven't scratched your ear yet because I've hidden my right hand. Scratchy, scratchy, scratchy. And God's going, for God's sake, for my sake, stop what you're doing. Anyway, go and give it a watch. Yes, it's time for my favourite part of the week, where we get to listen to one of your true paranormal experiences. And you want to know something interesting? You know that big long, yes, I tend to do now. I've just done one of them and the microphone was off and somebody walked past outside and they must think that's how I talk on the phone or something. Like, yes, I will have the bacon. Anyway, so we've had an email in from Lisa, and Lisa writes, hi, Kev. Hi. Hi, Becca. Hi. Well, that's what, you know, she's been away. It's been desert weather. And TNC. Wow. She's just happy because Becca's back. I wanted to share with you something that recently happened to me. My job gave us time off in the New Year holiday, and we all returned to work on January the 3rd, which was a Wednesday. As part of my job, I have to interact with our shipping department. The shipping department is about 5 or 6 guys. Since we'd been on vacation for almost a week, I really made sure to say good morning. And in this case, how was your holiday, to all of the guys? One guy who goes by the name of Mac said to me that his holiday was uneventful as he lived alone, but that he enjoyed his time off. He told me he was coming down with a cold, but he's not one to complain or let on how bad he really feels. I'd say Mac is close to retirement age. So the next morning, which was the Thursday, I was getting ready for work. And because I get up at 5 a.m. every day, my kid and husband are both still asleep at this time. I was in my bathroom, getting ready, when I hear a voice right next to me say, what was that? Well, I was shocked. I looked around the bathroom, and of course, nothing is there. I checked, and my kid and my husband are both sound asleep. There was no TV on or anything that could have made this noise. I just thought, okay, that just happened, and continued to get ready for work. I'd totally forgotten about it as I arrived to work at 6 a.m. Mac usually was the first guy in shipping to arrive either at 5 or 6. When I pulled into the parking space, I noticed Mac's motorbike was not in the parking lot, and the parking lot's normally pretty empty at this time. I just thought to myself, I guess that cold he had got worse. Next day, Friday, no Mac, and the other guys in shipping kept saying no one's heard from Mac, and he wasn't answering his phone or responding to texts. This was not like him at all. Over the weekend, I forgot all about Mac, and when Monday rolled around, I saw he still wasn't at work. So finally, I asked my boss, Where's Mac? My boss said he didn't know, and that it was true he wasn't answering his phone. He told me that he previously had stopped by his house on Friday to check on him because he knew he lived alone. And since he lived alone, he wanted to know what was going on with him. He said Mac's motorbike was in the driveway, but no one answered the door. My boss said he just went on home. After all, what could he do? I told him I had a bad feeling about Mac, and that just wasn't like him to not answer or just quit without giving notice. And he agreed and then said, maybe he died? Since Mac worked with us through a temporary agency, we had to ask them to get in touch with Mac's landlord and explain that we didn't know where he is. Then the landlord could check on Mac, get back to the agency, and they could tell us what's going on. Maybe an hour later, I was working at my desk, and I had this weird feeling come over me that Mac was no longer with us. I had a vision of something quick and painless. I can't explain it, really. Right after I had this vision and feeling come over me, my boss walked into the office and said to everyone, yep, Mac's dead. The police are there as we speak. He said Mac had been getting ready for work and he appeared to have had a heart attack that killed him instantly. My mind immediately went back to the previous Thursday, the 4th, when I heard that voice say, what was that? I know in my gut that voice was Mac. And because of the heart attack, he probably passed away so quickly that his spirit didn't know he was dead. And because me and Mac would have been getting ready to go to work around the same time, I would have been the only familiar person his spirit recognized, which is maybe why he said, what was that, to me? I feel a bit like, who am I, for him to make his presence known to me. But the agency said he didn't have any family and didn't live with anyone. He claimed that all of us at work were his family. Since this happened to me, each other person in my office has said that Mac made his presence known to them as well, each in a different way. I heard him. One smelled a cigarette out of nowhere. One he appeared to in a dream, and my boss said he made something at his house disappear from where he left it, only to find back where he left it the next day. I appreciate you taking the time to read my story, and this gives me peace that there really is something more after our time here is done. Take care of yourself, Lisa. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for your story, or should I say your experience. I always feel bad saying story because it implies made up or fictional. So I try and avoid that word whenever possible. So it was a slip of the tongue there. I do apologise, Lisa. Anyway, to your story. You know what is one of the most emotional things there for me? That the guy classed his workmates as family. And people do that. I'm sure we all have worked in jobs where individuals have that. You know, they have no one. And I know a lad who, believe me, he doesn't need to work. To say he comes from a wealthy family would be an understatement. But he does work. And he works to remain socially active and to not be on his own. And I get that. I used to wish that for the thing I've got right now, you know, autonomy. I'm a podcaster. One thing I do miss is going in and speaking to other people on a daily basis because it sharpens your sword mentally and socially. You know, you learn where the ever-moving line of social acceptance is when you're in that environment. When you're in an echo chamber of your own thoughts, you don't. So you're much more likely to offend people, I find. It turns out, because nobody, you know, I'm the sort of person, all the homies want to be like, on my knees in the night, saying prayers in the streetlight. Do you know what I mean? That's how street I am. No, I'm the sort of person that if I go into a room of 20 people, I'll be quiet for the first 2 hours. You know, I'll sum everyone up. And then I'll normally go into where I think is the most approachable person or group of people, and I will self-deprecate for an hour, because self-deprecation is a great tool. It disarms people, especially when you're as vain as I am. I'm not saying I'm good looking, but I am vain, and I'm obviously vain. Do you know what I mean? You'd look at me and go, God, he's vain. Look at his hair. Anyway, my point being is that if you go in and you put yourself down, you disarm everyone's anything they can say. If you say everything bad about yourself before they get the chance to say it, I've found it can work in your favor. You just have to be very careful that you don't fall into the mindset of believing the trick. Do you know, because that's all it is, a trick, a self-deprecating trick. But if you do it far too often, it can become what you think of yourself. So be very mindful of Kev's advice, because A, it's normally not good, and B, refer to A. Anywho, shall we go and see what Kevin's been doing in Becca's corner? That sounds much ruder than I meant. It's basically me doing Becca's Reddit corner. I hope you enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, now it is time for Paranormal Reddit Corner with Kevin again.
Yes, we've opened the door. We've climbed the wooden hill to the place I can only describe as exceptionally clean but exceptionally spooky, because it's where Becca would reside if she hadn't only arrived back from Saudi Arabia 24 hours ago and is tired. So for now, yet again, I will don her throne. You can't wear a throne. I will sit in her throne of darkness, and I, Sir Kevin of Eustaceshire, well, I hate it when people speak like that, but there you go, I've done it now. I will regale you a tale from the darkest corners of Reddit. And when I mean the darkest corners, I literally mean Reddit/ghosts. Anyway, this story is from somebody called One Nerdy Redhead. Aw, don't put yourself down. I mean the nerdy part. Red hair, of course, is a sign of intelligence. I might have made that up. I'm just trying to make you feel better. Anyway, this story goes thus. It's entitled Advice/Guidance/Help. Literally, H-A-L-P. Something is weird about me. Is there now? Let's see what One Nerdy Redhead has been going through. Ever since I was a baby, weird things have been attracted to me. I recently disclosed to my sister that I've been seeing shadow spiders, or things low to the ground. Like most people, I just waved it off as I was tired, or weird floaters in my eyes. It usually happened at home, in brackets, I'm always there, I'm an introvert, plus, plus. Close bracket. I don't know what the plus, plus means, is that a thing? I don't know. Until about a month ago, I was leaving work and I saw a walking pair of men's legs from the knee down in the parking garage. I was shook. I got very sick with COVID in 2020, before the shot was available, and I started seeing small things after that. Over the past few years, it has been ramping up. When I finally told my sister, we're 6 years apart, she told me about her talking to a guy she knew was dead and laying in our tub that mentioned waiting for the baby. She was 6 or 7 at the time. We think the guy is following me, and therefore we've named him Tubbs. It's weird, isn't it, how a name like Tubbs can take on such a sinister effing meaning. Anyway. Our cups would go missing and our chairs would move on their own. The TV in my parents' room would turn on randomly and the sounds of a distant party would come from the top corner of their closet. Wow. My mum and sister always talked about it, but I never had a true experience until one of my last times in my childhood house. Sorry, I'm reading this terribly. Until one of my last times in my childhood house at age 14. When I was completely alone and a cup disappeared on me. Hopefully not whilst you're pouring boiling water. Since then, nearly every place I've lived, even in apartments alone, strange things have happened. My sister told me that when we went out of town for a concert together, I was about 17, she was awoken by a full shadow man sitting on the edge of the table, with one leg up, leaning on it, watching me sleep. She was sharing the same bed, and out of fear buried her head in my back and watched it from over my shoulder. She said she kept blinking to see if she was dreaming or imagining it, but the shadow man didn't go. She stared at it for what she said was about 15 minutes until she covered her head and went back to sleep. I've also had prophetic dreams, phantom smells, and what sounds like a TV or radio on that I can't quite make out, and then disappears when I focus on it, trying to make out what the voices are saying. I've seen shadow people outside my house, and when I went on a haunted Portland tour with my sister, I felt targeted, and my EMF meter kept spiking out of the other 8 people in our group. I even saw a picture of a man in my mind that was trapped in the Shanghai tunnels. With things ramping up, I want to protect myself or figure out what this is. If it's some sort of gift, I want to develop it, to help people or solve cold cases. Make a difference. Any shared knowledge or guidance is greatly appreciated. Does what is wrong with me have a name? And then they've put TLDR, which stands for too long didn't read, seeing/hearing weird shit, shadow people and shadow bugs, it's getting worse, what's wrong with me, afraid I'm crazy. I don't think anyone doesn't read something that ends TLDR, and if anyone does, they're a weirdo, I think. I think if you see a big post and you just skip to TLDR, do people do that? I appreciate why it's there, do you know what I mean? It's just a synopsis. But if I read that TLDR, I'd be like, I'll read it now. You know, maybe that should go with the start. Maybe it should be TLPR, too long, please read. I don't know. So anyway, let's move on to the comments. Always the most interesting part of these stories. So our first comment says, they say schizophrenic people have unbelievable experiences. And the original poster says, rude. But thanks, I guess. Yeah, you're not wrong, that is rude. Someone said, you're not weird. Realise the world you see before you is not real. TikTok is not real life. Neither is Instagram. Why are you saying this? X or even Reddit. When you see spirits, you are seeing the reality behind the veil. Always remember, if you're having supernatural encounters, it's your body's way of telling you you have a gift. Ooh. You have to be willing to be a student to gain an understanding of the real world. The first step is believing. And if you believe what is happening to you is real, then commit yourself to studying. Don't follow other people. The road is one that has not been travelled. The best road is one that has not been travelled. I like all this. You must study. But they never tell you where or how. Anyway. Someone else has put, as someone who strongly believes in ghosts and the paranormal, in brackets, I've seen and experienced some freaky things. This sounds like postpartum psychosis. Please see a doctor. Fucking hell, that took a turn. Edit. I read this as ever since you had a baby, lol. But my opinion on seeing a doctor still stands. And our final comment says, everyone is weird in their own right. That's neither use nor ornament. But thank you, Time Finance 1528. So, what do we make of that then? I mean, I appreciate what people are saying about psychosis and mental health, but I wonder just how far we are away there from the old burning of witches. Do you know what I mean? Oh, something weird's happened to you? Then you're in the wrong. And they've had it continually, apparently, throughout their life. And her sister has also seen Tubbs. What's that off? Oh no, it's Tibbs in it. They call me Mr. Tibbs. I don't know what that's off. Can't remember. But anyway. What an interesting little tale. It's interesting that it's she started seeing them low to the ground as well. Now that doesn't sound like psychosis. I don't think psychosis has a height, you know, what's the word? Like commitment? Not commitment. Like, you know, we can't go any, like border. I don't think psychosis has a height border. You know, I don't. I'm mad if I look anywhere between 1 and 10 centimeters off the floor. I am mad. Anywhere above, I'm fine, fully functional. But I am insane when it comes to 1 and 10 centimeters off the floor. I don't think it works like that. Plus, they evolved to seeing human legs, you know. So I do think this person has the gift, as they say, the ability to see beyond the veil, as somebody has very, very nicely put it there. But what do you do with it? And this is my point. When people say, study, you should study, they never say, and I would suggest this. And it's not exactly a class you can take. Because, one, no one would really host that class. And if they do, you're paying hundreds and hundreds of pounds or dollars to go to somewhere that could largely be just ripping you off. And that's the weird thing when it comes to gifts of, or alleged gifts of supernatural abilities and charlatans who want your money. You know, it's hard to differentiate, because how do you prove something which is unprovable? And therefore, why are you charging people to allegedly make them better at the gift they're not sure they have, which can't be proven? Do you know what I mean? It's like, I studied it, I got a P, I'm now a doctor in seeing ghosts. It's like, okay. I mean, you could do parapsychology, but the whole point of parapsychology is to try and make it scientific. And any genuine parapsychologist you meet, they're so ingrained throughout the training of what that doctor in parapsychology has learned in their training, rightly so, is to debunk. You know, they want things to be real. I find when I've listened to parapsychologists before, they want to believe, to quote Fox Mulder, but their training, their scientific background, rightly so, says to them, but could it be something else? Rule out everything else and then see what you're left with. And therefore, the only actual studying part can only be parapsychology. And in doing so, you may find out, or you may convince yourself, you don't have a gift. You know, they were all coincidence, or maybe it was psychosis. You know, I know I poo-pooed it at the start. Or some sort of mental fragility. So you've not mentioned whether this was at times of stress, for example, you know, or even times of illness. You do mention that you had COVID quite bad and it escalated since. I remember my brother, genuinely, when he was about, well, he was older than me, so I don't recall the story because I don't think I was born yet. But my mum and dad told the story that when he was about 5, I think I was in the womb, but when he was about 5, he had a fever so high that he was sure the blinds in his room were going up and down and there were spiders all over his walls. And mum and dad took him to the hospital, obviously, and they were like, yeah, it's a hallucination through the high temperature. Now, one thing that's always got me, because I do believe my mum had a gift. My mum had many paranormal tales that she encountered herself, from seeing her own mother, although she died in childbirth, from seeing a shadow figure she believes was a dad on the day she met my dad, from a rocking chair which was rocking by itself in a room that she was in bed with the children she was babysitting. They were relatives, you know, that's back in post-war days and stuff. But she did have a kind of sixth sense. There was something very spooky about me mum, in a nice way. She had a sort of gift. And I think it's possibly passed down to my sister. Now, my sister's a big skeptic and she doesn't believe in general, but she's also spooky as fuck, as in, like, she's good at predicting stuff. You know, like, if I've been there when a phone's rung and she's went, that's bad news, don't answer it. And it's been bad news. But she doesn't acknowledge it as spooky. Only now is she starting to say, I think I'm a bit spooky, you know. But she doesn't give it any sort of credence. Like, for example, once, weirdly, she doesn't have it anymore, but she had an epileptic fit when she was about 15. Right? No, tell her she wasn't. She must have been younger because my mum was alive. She would have been about 13, 14, right? And she's watching TV, laying on the couch. And all of a sudden, she spun her head round and said, there's a man behind me, there's a man behind me, get him away, get him away. And then fell on the floor and had an epileptic fit. And mum, not knowing any better, just knowing she could swallow a tongue, stuck a hand into her mouth to fish out a tongue. It's the worst thing you can do to someone having an epileptic fit. So my sister chomped down on my mum's finger with full force, and a spray of blood came off my mum's finger and went down the wall. And when you're watching that, you're like, this is like something out of a horror flick. And when we, obviously an ambulance arrived, they said she's got epilepsy. It's the only thing we can put it down to. And you're very lucky you didn't lose your finger. We'd suggest if she does it again, use a wooden spoon to get her to move her tongue out the way, because they can crunch through that when they're in these spasms. So you're very lucky you didn't lose a finger. She's nicked an artery or a vein or something in your finger. So she had to have a bit of work done. It wasn't an artery, it was just like a big vein. But anyway, a lot of blood, stitches, etc. But interesting, she didn't have another epileptic fit after that one occurrence. And but when you've got epilepsy, or when you've been diagnosed as epileptic, you can't drive or you can't do anything. So, and it lasts for quite a while, because I remember she turned 16 and wanted driving lessons, and she couldn't have them, even though it was like 2 or 3 years ago when she had this fit, and she'd been clean since. She can now, and she drives now, because it was the one and only time she had an epileptic fit. But it was so weird that she spun around in total fear that there was a man stood behind her. Now, the couch was up against the wall, so there couldn't have been. But it also, she was backing on. So, without being one of them bores who describes a complete room layout, if you walked into the living room, picture a square or a rectangle. Just picture a rectangle in your head, and in the bottom left-hand corner of that rectangle was the door to enter the living room, right? The door would open inwards to the living room, and behind that door was the couch against the wall. The TV was in the top right corner. So my sister's head was looking at the TV, but her head would be facing the door. So arguably something could have been stood in that doorway. But it was just so weird, especially at that age. I was like 14, 15. So I believed, I've been into ghosts since year dot. So I believed. So when you watch your sister go, there's some fella behind me, there's someone behind me, get him away. And then hit the floor and start shaking. You're like, I mean, I'm looking at the door. My mum is obviously concerned about my sister's well-being, as you would, and not concerned about anything paranormal in the door. I'm staring at the door thinking, what's she seen? What's she seen? What's she seen? And it could, and people do have hallucinations when you're epileptic. Just very coincidental that she also now seems to have this weirdness in terms of premonitions, if you will, or, you know, just being aware of things before they take place. That phone call was specific. It was like, it was her phone. She said, I'm not answering that. That'll be bad news. And it was a withheld number. And there was no reason. Because when she got off the call, it was a mate. And it was a mate informing her that anyway, that's none of anyone's business. But anyway, it was bad news. But when she finished, she went, I knew it'd be bad news. And I went, is it because it was a withheld number? And like, have you got like debts or anything? Are you expecting bad news? And she was like, nope. She said, I just knew. Just knew. I went, I never answer a withheld number. I said, because I just assume it's a con man or something. And she went, I knew. She went, as soon as that phone went, she said, something in my stomach turned over. And it was like, fucking hell. And especially for such a number. She doesn't, you know, she's not like me. Well, she's like me in ways because we're related. But in terms of the paranormal, nothing like me, you know. She's an Evertonian, which is a football club, and she's an avid, like, she's more masculine in that way. She's into male things. Well, you would be, you know, your mum dies when she was 14, 15. 15 she was when she died. And therefore she was brought up by her dad and two other brothers. And me nan, of course. But female influence, you know, she was more influenced by males than females. And therefore, she went the match with me dad and me brother. I didn't. I wasn't asked. She's got an Everton tattoo. Makes it sound like a docker. It's in a very nice place. It's very discreet. Women are allowed to have fucking tattoos. But it's an Everton tattoo. And just weird. Very weird. But I'm trying to think how we got onto this. But it was because of the potential of all of that from the Reddit situation being a hallucination. So who knows? But thank you, one nerdy redhead girl. What an interesting story. I don't know what I believe about that, but I think you've been unnecessarily put down a bit in that comments section. Some people have suggested some good things. The people just saying, because you're mad. Get a fuck. Sorry, but get GTFO, as they say. Which, for those who don't know the acronym, means get the F out. Yeah. And why is someone like that on a ghosts forum? You know, to read someone's experience and then say, you're mad. Just get on with your life. Learn gardening. Honest to God, some people. Anyway, you lovely, wonderful, beautiful people. Next week we should, all fingers crossed, have the return of the wonderful Becca in her rightful throne, telling me why the story isn't real. But until then, tatty bye.